Welcome back to Death Holler. I'm your host, the Reverend Dr. Death. Joining me as always is my co-host, Law Urena. This episode, we are covering the last of the Ash trilogy of Evil Dead movies, Army of Darkness. But first, let's attack some bees.
What is that? Oh, no, not the bees! Not the bees! Ah! Out of my eyes!
This episode of Attack of the Bees, we're covering Bloody Muscle Builder in Hell from 1995.
It already sounds horrible. What the fuck? Is this about fucking Donnie G?
It could be, yeah. Honestly, I mean, he can make his own version of this.
Jesus.
Tagline, it's the Japanese Evil Dead.
Do they really say that?
That's what they call it, and it really is. The director, Shinichi Fukuzawa, who also wrote the movie, he was very much an Evil Dead fan, and in his spare time, over the course of 15 years,
wow,
made this movie.
Damn.
As his homage, you know.
Okay.
So he's also the lead actor in it.
He's
the bloody muscle builder. He was really into working out and at the time, and so he was like, I'm gonna put it in the movie.
Well, okay. I wonder if he was inspired because Bruce Campbell definitely got muscular every film.
Yes, I think that was part of it. He said Evil Dead 2 in particular, whenever he saw, you know, Ash toward the end of the movie, he was like, okay, he's a badass. I don't want to be like him, you know.
I mean, it's honestly goals, because if you're going to write and direct a film and you're going to place yourself in it, you want to look your best, you know?
Yeah.
So why not?
Music by Knots and Act. Some of the other principal players is Masaki Kai, Masashiro Kai, Aki Tamamai, and Asako Nosaka. And I butchered those, but I'm from Eastern Kentucky, so give me a break.
Yeah.
Anyways, synopsis. After receiving a phone call from his photojournalist ex-girlfriend, and an unemployed bodybuilder travels to a reportedly haunted house in Tokyo that belonged to his father.
Oh my God, no, not in Tokyo.
They are accompanied by a psychic who tries to manifest a connection with the spirit inhabiting the home. Unbeknownst to all involved, the spirit is actually a former lover of the bodybuilder's father, who was murdered and buried beneath the house by the father, by the way, because she was a psychotic obsessive. The psychic becomes possessed by the spirit of the crazy woman, and the bodybuilder must try to find a way to escape the house with his ex-girlfriend before they are both murdered.
This is like a mixture of The Grudge and Shudder.
Yeah, it's kind of a mix. It's got that Japanese ghost vibe going on but you can definitely throughout the movie see the Evil Dead influences, because when the guy becomes possessed, like, his face kind of becomes more like a deadite, you know, the psychic. And then whenever the bodybuilder, at one point in time, there's a chainsaw. He's definitely got a shotgun in there, you know, got all the stuff, and he's basically getting, you know, like, trying to kill this thing, chopping it into pieces, just like, I mean, there's an axe in the basement, I do remember that he chops it up into multiple pieces, thinking that's his only way out, and just repeatedly covered in gore throughout the whole movie, just like Ash. It's literally a shot on video, which means, you know, terrible VHS, like, you filming it yourself quality version of the Evil Dead is what it's like.
Okay.
And it's just as goofy as that, intentionally, you know, in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
Shot on video is not my thing. I've seen a couple of them now. Watched one with Linnea Quigley called Scream Queen, which I felt like I was gypped on that one, because it's billed as being like her being, she's like, which she was the time, like an ex-scream queen trying to film her last movie, and supposedly dies during the filming of it. And then all these people are invited to a house where by her, even though she's dead, and they get picked off one by one by her. But the thing is that they must not have had enough money to pay Linnea, because she's in it for like 5 minutes, which really pissed me off. I'm like, you sold it as being her movie, and then she's barely in it. And whoever's in the mask is obviously not her.
Yeah.
Doing the killing. That one was pretty terrible, but this one was actually fun, because if you watch Evil Dead, the original movie, it's kind of low budget anyways, although very well done. This doesn't achieve any of those aspects, but I mean, you can tell the guy's passion and how much he loved Evil Dead because he did a pretty good imitation of it. I'll put it that way. Didn't hate it. Not one that I'd watch all the time by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm going to give it a Nick Cage rating of Renfield. It's got campy characters and charm, which help elevate the concept that could have been much worse in execution.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. It's a pretty good description, too.
Yeah, it's worth a watch just to see it. After that, you're like, that's enough.
Make your decision from there.
Yeah. All right, on to the main discussion. Army of Darkness from 1992. My favorite tagline, trapped in time, surrounded by evil, low on gas.
It's okay. It's good. I'm not going to, I won't argue.
Directed by Sam Raimi, of course, written by Sam Raimi and Ivan Raimi.
Nice.
Music by Joe DeLuca, LoDuca again. Budget of $11 million, it only made $21.5 million.
Okay, but it could have done so much worse, though.
It could have.
It could have also done better.
One of my buddies in high school is the only one I know of who actually watched it in theaters. And I feel bad about not having seen it, but I didn't even know about the damn movie. I didn't even know about The Evil Dead, honestly, at that point. So but the people who did, I think what it was is like when the way this was advertised, they didn't know that it was even part of The Evil Dead because they didn't use the name, even though I think they, you know, Sam Raimi and the rest of them asked for it because I think Universal at the time said, well, people will be confused because they'll think that this means that it's like, you know, that they have to go back and watch the where's the previous information, you know, and all that. We want it to be its own thing, so just call it Army of Darkness. But then that bit them in the ass because people who knew Evil Dead were like, all right, some medieval, maybe with Bruce Campbell next, you know?
Yeah. Which it's dumb because it is a continuation of the other movies.
It is. I mean, there is some retconning the beginning again, as we discussed previously, but
I think that's just at this point, like they're doing that shit on purpose.
But I mean, it does follow Ash being sucked into the vortex and then spit out into the medieval times, which is what Evil Dead 2 ended at.
He's literally at the fucking, you know, the whatever, the, oh, I can't type the word right now. I'm so fucking still waking up, apparently. He's at the fucking, where they were camping. Well, they weren't camping. They were in that,
the cabin.
There you go. I was thinking the cabin.
They were camping at the cabin.
They're camping at the cabin. Yeah, they were at the cabin. So he's literally at the cabin being sucked in. Like, they show that. That is how, well, kind of how. I'm glad it started that way. I'm like, perfect. What I need to know. Clear, concise, straight to the point. I know what happened in the previous films. What did they retcon? Oh, wait, I know what they retcon. Never mind. You don't have to say it.
Okay.
So,
should I say it for the audience?
I guess, because I figured we were going to get to talking to that. But yeah, go ahead.
It's okay. So they retcon the fact that when Ash goes back, he falls in the medieval times. He's basically in the center of this rock-like pedestal surrounded by all these medieval types in bad armor, by the way, because they didn't have the budget in Evil Dead 2. A deadite comes flying in, a winged deadite. He shoots it down, and everybody's praising him, you know, and then he screams out, you know, that because he knows what happened to him. In this one, he gets sent back, dropped on his ass, and the cars drop you know, without any ceremony. And then everybody's like, all right, you're our slave now. You're obviously one of, you know, what is it? Something the red. Like, I'll figure it out whenever I get to that. But anyways, like, the leader of the opposite tribe, they think that he's one of his men, and they just slap him in stocks and go marching his ass off to be killed. So, different scenario. He's not the hero right off the bat. They basically think he's one of the bad guys.
Yeah, which is pretty, it's pretty funny. Well, I remember, because obviously we talked about the ending of the last one, and this one, I think it was, I'm going to be honest with you, though, I think it was a smooth retcon, because... Yeah. They didn't immediately, like, he wasn't, like, the immediate, I mean, like, because they could have just killed him. They gave him an opportunity to prove himself, and then they're like, yay, this is the one to save us, you know? And they did also say at the beginning, like, oh, the prophecy says that the fucking person that does this or blah, blah, blah will come and help us, and it was Ash.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind the retcon either. Mm-hmm. And I think it works out better because we get asshole Ash in this movie, and it's a perfect way to set up asshole Ash because after he's been through all this shit from them, he's like, fuck off, you know? And it's like, that's a fair point.
Well, does it set off asshole Ash, but many, many years, 20, 30 years down the road, it sets up Ash for Ash versus Evil Dead working at the store.
Yeah. The whole S-Mart thing and all that stuff gets brought in. Which they unofficially continue without even acknowledging this movie in the TV show, but that's because they had to, because Universal was like, you know what? Don't reference this movie when you make your new show. And they're like, all right, you know, if that's the way you want to be.
Wow.
I don't get it. I don't know why they were like that, but...
Okay.
But again, I think the poor box office, because they named it Army of Darkness, the advertising for it makes it look like a medieval Harryhausen film with the claymation skeletons. Mm-hmm. And unless you know that that's Ash, and even then, I don't know how big the Evil Dead audience was of the people who were going to watch movies anyways.
They're never big until at least 20 years down the road.
Yeah, well, I mean, but still, like, you take the horror community and then you break that down into Evil Dead, like super freaks who know that this was the continuation. It's like, okay, you've narrowed your audience down to nothing by not putting Evil Dead on top of this.
Yeah, I think they heard it big time, which is unfortunate. Dumb question, though. Has Universal ever had an Evil Dead house?
They have had an Ash house, yes, but I don't know if it was Evil Dead necessarily. It was, because I think it was set in the cabin, but like it was multiple versions of Ash, like basically, which I don't like when they do this. I like better whenever they do scenes, but like it was you going through the house and then like crazy Ash would pop out 1 minute and the next minute they would have like a good Ash, but like he would move out at the last second to kind of spook you and him point out, it's like, you know, don't go in there, you know, there's deadites inside, that sort of thing that they do, but just like multiple versions of Ash. And it's like, I feel like they overplay that sometimes, because I can tell you for a fact, their Texas Chainsaw House had Leatherface all throughout it.
Yeah.
I was so fed up with seeing him by the end of it. I'm like, all right, Bubba Sawyer again. Come on. You know.
There you be. To be fair, they did that with the Michael Myers house too. And that seems to be a staple at the Hollywood Halloween Horror Nights.
They did a pretty good job with that though at the one in Orlando, whenever they had the Michael Myers house, because even though it was him throughout the entire house, they did some optical things that made it kind of interesting. Like you were looking down one alleyway and saw him down there, and all of a sudden another one would pop out right beside of you and kind of scare the shit out of you. So it's like, all right, that's at least better than just having, because the thing with, I mean, especially with Ash and Leatherface, that chainsaw, when you hear it revving up like two rooms away,
yeah,
you already know what you're getting when you walk in the room. It kind of spoils the surprise.
No.
Principal players, of course, Bruce Campbell.
Never
again.
Heard of him.
Ash Williams and Evil Ash in this movie. Who rules and Hail to the King, baby. I'm going to put it, the movie I'm picking for this one, because it's very divisive, but I really think this movie is fun, is Bubba Hotep.
Never heard of it, honestly.
Well, most people have it, and it's a slower burn, which some people do not like, but it is. Bruce Campbell plays this Elvis imitator called Sebastian Half, who supposedly, according to him, replaced Elvis. Like, Elvis came to him, said he was tired of the fame, tired of, you know, being in the spotlight. He just wanted a normal life. So he paid Sebastian to just basically imitate him for the rest of his life, including up to the point where he, you know, quote unquote, died. And so the real Elvis was just out there living his life, you know, carefree, while Sebastian was the actual Elvis that got fat and everybody, you know, knew of, according to Sebastian at least. And anyways, he's in this nursing home. He knows, Ossie Davis, I believe is the character he plays, who thinks that Ossie Davis is a black man, an old black man who thinks that he's JFK. He said that whenever he was shot in the car, they took pieces of his brain and put it in the black man's body. He's got Alzheimer's, you know, it's sort of one of those things.
What? But, you and Noah watch the weirdest fucking shit.
The whole point of the movie, though, is that there is a mummy that escapes from one of, like, that's been, like, accidentally dumped nearby, and it's going in and it's taking the souls out of the old people because they're so close to death anyways, and feasting off of them. And it's up to Sebastian and JFK to go and defeat, you know, the mummy in the movie. It's pretty fun, I think, but I get why some people might not like it. It's really out there.
I'm judging you right now.
M. Beth Davids plays Sheila, the widower who looks bad but feels good. The only movie that I saw that she was in that was like kind of a horror movie other than this was that M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong movie called Old that just came out recently.
Is this the brunette that kept having to give Ash some sugar?
That, and she hated him minute and then wanted to be his lover the next. And,
I forgot because when I heard, he said, "Oh, Sheila," a few times, so I was thinking of that song. oh, Sheila.
I can't hear that name without thinking of the Australian version of it. Sheila.
Sheila.
Marcus Gilbert plays Lord Arthur, the medieval ruler, and the one that wants Ash thrown in the pit to die at the beginning of the movie.
Is that the one that looks like, what's that actor that I keep calling Hot Jesus? He was in...
Leto?
Leto, Jared, yes, Leto? Jared Leto. He kind of looked like Jared Leto. Is that him?
Yeah, that guy, yeah. He was in Rambo 3, was the only other big film that stood out to me that he was in.
And then he was reincarnated as Jared Leto.
Yeah. Ian Abercrombie plays the wise man, the old smart guy that knows about the book. He was actually the driver in the Addams Family Values movie.
Interesting.
Which is kind of weird. Richard Grove plays Duke Henry the Red. That was one I was trying to think of. That's the ruler of the neighboring kingdom. He was in the movie Point Break, which is kind of interesting. Two dramatically different movies. Mm-hmm. Medieval Scottish type guy, and then California, you know, beach bums.
We're easy to mock, okay? What can we say? Because, you know, all of us Californians are just like that. You know, we all live on the beach, and we all go surfing.
It's unfortunate because that was the best fit for Keanu Reeves' accent
it of really any was.
Movie he ever did. Well, to take that back, Ted was a pretty good version of him, too. But, I mean, other than that, I mean... I cannot stand his accent in the Dracula movie. It's so bad.
We are reviewing that eventually.
Yes.
The hubby made it onto the show. Hi, babe.
Oh, my God.
Welcome.
Man, the edible was way too strong last night.
I didn't even know you took one.
I know.
Oof. All right. Well, we don't take edibles in hell, so we're feeling fine.
It feels like a place you should take them.
Speaking of hell, Reverend, has it been hot out there?
Hotter than I would like. It's been getting up. I mean, for us, it's been getting up in the 80s, which is kind of shitty for this time of year.
Maybe, yeah, for your area. Actually, it was in the 90s. Okay, so this is how bad it is. It was in, what, the 90s yesterday? It was the 80s or 90s, babe?
I don't know.
It was 80s or 90s yesterday. I want to say it was the low 90s, and it was actually, there was a cool breeze, and it felt so good. We had the windows open. And everything, we're like, fuck, this feels amazing. Even my son was like, man, it was nice outside.
Yeah, we're about to be in the consistent hundreds pretty quick.
Well, yeah, the worst part for us is that even though it's been more in the mid-70s, the humidity's already picked up, and it's swamp-ass season again. So.
Yeah, but you guys don't get rolling blackouts like we do in California. So.
No, they do, no. I thought. Or no?
No, oh. We typically don't,
okay.
Thankfully.
But even then, like, we get on such a massive scale.
I mean, not in this neighborhood. We live in a nice neighborhood.
You just jinxed us.
Okay, seriously, though, how many times have the neighborhoods around us gone out and we're just standing in our freaking house just looking at the blackouts around us like, that sucks. To be fair, we're not dumb. We know that we are like, it absolutely can happen to us, and we do have a generator, unlike other people that are just like, it won't happen to me. It happens every year.
Yeah. Especially with more electric cars.
Oh, yeah. That's a thing.
I'm not going to even get off.
Yeah, that's a whole discussion for a podcast. That this is not it. Are we not going to discuss real quick who played Linda in this film?
Oh yeah, I completely forgot about bringing her up. Wasn't it Bridget Fonda or something?
Recognized her as soon as I saw her, and granted, it was for what, like 3 whole seconds?
Yeah, it was barely in the movie. Third Linda in a row.
Third Linda.
I'm sure there'll be more.
Not blonde Linda. She had short, medium brown hair.
Yeah.
I would say, or dirty blonde at best, but I was like, really? Now we're just fucking with people is what we're doing.
Well, that's why I said the whole thought about these are not the same universe ashes because of the continuity errors and the changes in Linda's. You could see why they're going that route with the thought process. I mean,
was Bruce Campbell ever on Supernatural?
Not that I'm aware of.
He was on
Xena, Princess Warrior, though.
I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, that was also another Sam Raimi type thing, though, too. Sam Raimi did a lot of those shows back in the day. He was actually his own character on Xena.
That's what I figured.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He could have totally been on Supernatural, especially with all the fucking universes they had. I'm surprised they didn't have a Deadite universe.
Just give them time. I think they're still trying to bring it back, so.
They'll never, yeah, they're trying to live the glory days. They can't just let it rest peacefully. They're just like, we'll never be as good as what that show was, or we'll never have the fan base that show had. And they're just like, oh, let's bring it back, boys. And it's like, how about we don't? How about we remember it the way it was?
If we could remember it without the last season, for sure, that'd be even better.
That'd be great, yeah. And we'll never forget Sam's wig.
All right, synopsis for this. After activating the spell in the Necronomicon, the Deadites are sent back in time to their original resting place, along with Ashley J. Williams. Now trapped in 1300 AD or thereabouts, Ash must brave the wilderness to find the Necronomicon, recite the specific wording to dispel its evil, and bring the book to the wise man in order to make his way home. There's no way he's going to mess this up.
Mm-hmm.
Sheila wants to kill him, evil Ash wants to be him, and Ashley J. Williams has his boomstick. How can you destroy an army that's already dead?
That's not bad. That doesn't make me want to punch you.
That's one of the taglines.
Yeah.
Other taglines. He's a 20th century guy trapped in the Middle Ages.
For the time that this movie came out, that works.
Foretold by a mystical book, forewarned by a wise man, fulfilled by a wise guy.
It's not bad, but it's just too long.
It's not as good as Trapped in Time, Surrounded by Evil, you know. One man, 1 million dead, the odds are just about even.
No.
They move, they breathe, they suck. I don't even know what that's supposed to relate to.
These are legit taglines they had for the promo or something like that?
Yeah.
No. They move, they breathe, they suck. You could be talking about hookers.
You could be talking about politicians for that
matter. Yeah, that's true. Barely.
Sound the trumpets, raise the drawbridge, and drop the Oldsmobile. What the fuck? Whatever. I don't understand that at all. In an age of darkness, at a time of evil, when the world needed a hero, what it got was him.
I would say that, if they had changed the last part to "we got Ash," I would actually kind of like that.
Yeah, that one's not bad just because, I mean, you get the intent. It's just like, okay, mm-hmm. Of all the heroes that the world needed.
We got Ash. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's hella funny. I like that one.
A few quotes because this movie is nothing but quotes. Shop smart. Shop S smart.
Yes, that was. He said that, what, like 3 or 4 times in the movie?
Yeah. I got news for you, pal. You ain't leading but 2 things right now. Jack and shit. And Jack left town. My favorite line in the entire movie. Klaatu, Virata,
necktie.
He actually says the right word before he coughs. That's the funniest part about it. He says necktie, but he leads into a cough with it after he says it.
Oh my
and
God.
Then fucks it all up.
Fucking Ash.
Good, bad, I'm the guy with a gun, which is one of the most badass lines in the whole entire series because he just blew evil Ash's face off.
You're not going to include Give Me Some Sugar, Baby?
Well, I didn't want to just quote the entire movie because, I mean, it's just
they're
like,
all one-liners. I know, that is true. They're all like, literal one-liners.
It's a trick get an axe. That's one of them. First, you want to kill me. Now you want to kiss me. blow. That's one of the lines, which is pretty good. I already quoted a couple of them. Who rules and Hail to the King, yeah. Baby. You know, that's a couple of them.
Oh, my God.
I mean, this is just a quote generator, the entire movie.
It is. It's literal one lines.
The one line Evil Ash says to Good Ash, he's like, I'm Bad Ash. You're Good Ash. You're Goody Little Two Shoes. Good, you know, that whole scene, you know. I've watched this movie way too many times, okay?
I'm just saying. I know you both have, actually.
Yeah, retarded amount of times.
This is, this was my first time watching Army of Darkness, although I've seen bits and pieces of it. So, there's that.
All right. Talking about the movie, what do you think about the visuals in the movie? I think it's charming that they did the whole Harryhausen skeleton look. I mean, for the bad guys.
Yeah, I mean, the skeletons aside, actually everything looked pretty decent. I thought the main bad guy that was controlling the Army of Darkness, I think there was one time it looked like his mask, or not his mask, but his face, whatever.
Was coming off.
Coming off. Is it supposed to look like that?
I think that was the same scene where he's like Sally Forth, but he keeps saying it wrong, and then he has to pop his jaw, and he's like, Sally Forth, you know, like he says that. It looks like his jaw's kind of popped out whenever he says it, so I think it's supposed to look that
okay, way. Okay, so I wasn't sure about that, but everything else, I was genuinely surprised, looked pretty good. The Deadites looked good. They didn't look horrible, because, you know, as you get into... As you get a little bit better technology, sometimes they think, oh, this makeup effect's going to look amazing, and they try to do something better and scarier, and it doesn't. They didn't do that. They actually did a really good job. The skeletons were a little, you know, they were there. So, and you can only do so much when you have an army of skeletons, so.
The funnier ones are the ones that are clearly guys in suits, and you can see that. Because they're a little chunkier for skeletons, you know.
They looked a lot better than Dancing Linda in fucking
part two.
So I'll absolutely give them that. And the lighting and the fucking whatever film they used was nice, because I watched this film in SD and I thought it looked good.
Oh, it's even better than 4K.
I fucking believe it. So visuals, they got me.
You can say what you want. I love the look of that cemetery that they go to. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's like the perfect visuals. You can say what you want to about how he looks whenever his face gets sucked down the book and he looks like a comic book or a cartoon character.
Yeah.
But they made this movie like the Three Stooges, so it makes sense that he'd have the big long elongated face. And he's got the long chin, so it's almost like Raimi was poking fun at him.
It works. You know. It works. It's not the worst. I think... And they had to work with what they had at the time, but like, was the skeletons a joke? Like, did they intentionally, or is that just what they had?
I don't know if it's in the trivia, but I think they wanted that old timey look for the skeletons.
Which is fine. I mean, they're in the medieval time, so I guess, you know.
Yeah. Well, here's another thing. What do you think about the armor look and stuff? Because you go back to, this is a perfect example. Rings of Power is billions of dollars that Jeff Bezos and company has put into that show. The armor looks like shit, and the wigs and everything else that they made to make them look like, you know, elves and all that are awful.
Yeah.
So for the budget of $11 million, do you think they did decent with the armor?
Yeah,
and all that?
I do.
What looks bad about it?
What, the Rings of Power TV show?
Yeah.
Well, they put a wig on the guy who's supposed to be totally not Sauron, but he is. And everybody said that they've been making fun of it, that it's like the worst disguise ever in history. Like, they've been memeing it and like putting it like those old fake like dark glasses and mustache to make you look like Groucho Marx type disguises they used to have back in the day. Yeah. They've been putting that, they've been memeing it with that on top of it just to kind of point out how bad it looks.
No one will ever know.
Who's
like,
gonna know?
Superman, you just put glasses on, then I'm magically don't look like Superman.
Totally different person. Totally forget that this guy has, you know, is, you know, supposed to be this nerdy little dude, but like, you know, he somehow has like this, you know, barrel chest or whatever in his suit and stuff whenever he's Clark Kent. But the other thing is, too, if you're talking about the Rings of Power that they made fun of, is that, like, there's this place they go to the Numenoreans, which is like the old, like, human settlement that Aragorn's people came from, and they have like what they call moob armor. It's like man boobs. Like, it literally only covers their man boobs and part of their like upper midriff, and that's what their armor looks like.
I thought like at the end of this movie, Ash's hand looked a little weird. The new armored hand.
Yeah, the new armored hand.
It looked a little much, whereas during, it was like, did they use something different while they were actually in the action scenes? Because at the end of the movie, it just looked like this toy, plastic, made to look like metal hand, and it was super thick, whereas I felt like earlier in the film, it looked a little bit better. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was just because it was looking at it up close.
I don't know if I paid that much attention to it, but by the end of the movie, I don't know. I've seen it so many times, I'm not even really paying much attention.
That's probably, yeah. So, and this was, of course, an S-Mart when I saw it, you know, up close. So I'm like, okay.
Well,
like,
that makes sense then, because that's also lit very different. So yes. The lighting probably made it look worse in that sense, because it's a store, you know, with all the overhead lighting that stuff in it.
Yeah.
By the way, that swamp witch that lays down on the ground and Ash is like, you know, get an axe or whatever. Yeah. That's actually the redheaded woman who played Barbara in the Night of the Living Dead remake. The more proactive Barbara that's in that one.
Oh, shit. That's
her and, you know, that all that makeup.
Hell yeah.
I think it's fine. I don't ever go to this movie as being like the utmost quality and like, you know, visual effects or anything. But if you compare it to the previous Evil Deads, it's definitely a step up from them.
It is. And they definitely did better, because I think that, you know, as they got an actual budget, they could have made it look shitty. Sometimes you get that money. And granted, it wasn't a shit ton of money, but still you get some money and you think you have an audience and you're like, we're going to blow them away. They didn't get too crazy with it, which is good.
Yeah. They didn't spend $180 million on it like they did. Disney did for The Acolyte that just came out and also looks like garbage.
Like, I haven't watched it, but just kind of hearing people break down the storyline, it's bonkers.
Yeah. It's pretty bad.
Reverend was talking about that a little bit earlier. So, and I was just like, it's so heartbreaking, but that's another podcast. So,
The story in this one, I mean, it's a continuation of the series. It's going back and showing you how Ash became the Chosen One and fucked it up to where the Deadites were never actually contained.
Yeah, actually, that's...
I mean, that's literally what you're watching. Now, there was an alternate ending to the movie, and I don't know how you feel about this. They kind of... They actually did the alternate ending in the TV show for the ending of that show. But the alternate ending of this was that Ash, it was a repeat of that scene with the wise man. So, you know how the wise man said, you know, repeat the words after me, and Ash does it a couple times. He's like, yeah, I got your damn words, you know, that whole thing. Well, the wise man tells him, you know, drink 3 drops out of this and recite this incantation, and it'll take you back to your time. And he tells Ash, repeat this back to me. And again, Ash is like, I got it. Well, Ash takes too many drops. Says the words, I don't know if they're wrong or right, he wakes up not in his time, but in a dystopian future where basically the world's been blown up and, like, he's one of the last few people alive.
That would have been cool, and I was waiting for that to happen to where the guy tells him to repeat the words, and he still fucks it up.
Yeah, they did do that ending in the TV show because Ash, I mean, that's a spoiler, but like he has a very similar end in Ash versus the Evil Dead as he does to this movie, and he fucks it up, and then he ends up way in the future after everybody else is gone.
I would hope if you're listening to a not popular podcast about horror films that you've already seen majority of the stuff. I haven't, but that's just me. I'm doing the podcast.
It doesn't really ruin the show because a lot of people said that ending was actually the most disappointing part of the entire show, that they kind of loved it up until that point. But
the Evil Dead show or Ash versus?
The Ash versus Evil Dead. Okay. You know. Huh. Yeah.
What say you, babe? You seen it?
Does it do what now? The what?
So he's talking about the ending of Ash versus Evil Dead, how they ended the show.
I haven't seen the last episode. What was the last episode?
Oh, shit.
I'll let you watch it then. I'm not going to repeat what I just said. Okay. Since you wouldn't listen.
What season is it on right now?
It only had three seasons. So if you're on the third season, that's the last episode.
Oh, then I've seen it already.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to remember what it was.
It was basically him. Was it him repeating the words incorrectly or taking too many drops?
It was something like that. It was like they were going to use the Necronomicon to seal up Ash, so that he could come back at a future time whenever he was needed to defeat the Deadites, because they had this big, huge, gigantic Deadite that he has to fight. And it's actually a really cool looking scene. It's pretty badass. But
is that the one? That's not the one he's fighting, like that arena with the big lifted vehicles and stuff like that, is it?
I think it might be. Yeah, toward the end of it. But yeah, like for whatever reason, he has to be like put in stasis to come back to help him out when he's needed. And whenever he wakes up, it's like way in the future, like nobody is around. I can't remember the other characters. It's Pedro, Pablo, whatever the characters.
Yeah, his sidekick.
Yeah, he's gone. The other girl's gone. His daughter, you know, in the show is gone. I don't know it. I think the ending of this would have been cooler if it would have kind of been that alternate ending, honestly, because the scene's not actually that bad that they have of him waking up.
Yeah. It's so like, the one I have is that version. It's the director's cut, but it has that as the ending.
Yeah. And it's all like reddish, which is funny because the movie we're going to cover, but it's all like reddish sky and, you know, and all the buildings are blown up kind of. So, but anyways, anything else you want to say about the story? I mean, I don't really know that there's much to say about it. This is definitely more, this is a comedy adventure movie more than this horror movie.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah. Has Benny seen this movie?
Yeah.
Because, like, is it up there for, like, one of his favorites? Because our son loves older films, but he likes those, what's the other one? I don't ever watch them, but they're at the castle and... They're fucking throwing a bunch of shit over.
Oh, the Groucho Marx movies.
Yeah, our son really likes those, and I feel like this is kind of very similar.
Oh, yeah, it's very much
a lot of slapstick.
Yes.
Have you ever watched a Groucho Marx movie?
I have, actually. I like several of them. And there's, for anybody who's into the Groucho Marx style comedy, there's a newer movie made in the 90s called Brain Donors. That it's got that same style comedy. It has John Turturro in it. It's like the Groucho Marx character, and he's an ambulance chaser. Like, he's literally seen in the first part of the movie chasing an ambulance to try to get them to, you know, get him to cover, you know, like to be their lawyer to sue whoever was in the accident. And it's him just going through the movie, just throwing out the one-liners like Groucho Marx would, you know.
Well, the whole thing with him and his brothers is this nonstop one-liners gets getting dropped, and it's easy to miss them too. I love, man. Groucho Marx movies you watch them today, man, they're hilarious. They're still hella good.
They are. Like, the way he delivers the comedy is the best part. that's one of the scenes in Brain Donors that always stuck with me too. I know it's a tangent, but it goes along with it. The John Turturro's sitting there, and he's trying to woo this, like, I think she's obese, like, rich woman, because he's wanting a sugar mama. And he's sitting there,
totally,
and he's like,
his character too.
Yeah, and he's sitting there, and he's like, come with me. And he said, and we'll be on the beach staring at that old Jamaican moon. And then he just stops, and then dead pan face, why that old Jamaican will be mooning us, I have no idea. You know, like, I...
A total Groucho statement, man. That's how his jokes are. There's a lot of layers to it.
This movie's a lot in that vein. That's why it's more of a comedy. That's why it's a lot of one-liners. I mean, in today's time, it would be a meme generator. That's what this movie really is.
Really? Is this a nonstop?
Well, I'm talking about Army of Darkness.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, this is the movie that I think made Ash for most people. Like, when you think of Ash, it's this movie more than any of the other movies in the series.
Do you think
I
mean, so?
Point blank. I think for a lot of people it is, because whenever they quote him, they're usually quoting this movie. I mean, they a lot of people say the groovy line, which is from part two, but this asshole Ash is the one that, and even yeah. the series is what's, he's asshole Ash in that too, yeah, you know? Time.
Yeah, I mean, they got the fucking grocery store. Well, not really grocery store, but they have S-Mart, if you will.
Which is basically Walmart, or Kmart. It's yeah. more like Kmart.
I thought that, not so much with the story, actually, this is the visuals, but like, the stupid shit they did, like when they threw the chainsaw and it landed perfectly on his stub.
He jumps up and it just connects like an anime or whatever. Yes. You know?
I was like, toy this. Oh yes.
It's that over the top.
Yes. Yes. I am aware of that. So
it was the luck of the goddamn devil.
this is the shit that made fucking Ash from Evil Dead. Evil Dead and Ash, honestly. And it sucks because there's not even Evil Dead in this movie.
There's not a lot of Evil Dead. Well,
no.
Technically, the skeletons are Evil Dead.
Oh, no. There's the Evil Dead. I'm talking about the title Evil Dead is not. It's not in the title at all. And so, like,
you know what the Ash character? You've seen the Berserk anime, haven't you?
I have started watching it, but I've not seen all very much of it. Once, but yes, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Once you watch the entire arc, it's Ash's character is that guy.
Somebody who becomes so mentally, like, just from the trauma that he's had to deal with, it just becomes, well, like, a withdrawal.
So you haven't watched the whole thing. You saw the intro, though, right? And you saw his mechanical hand?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's a badass hand. And it's just, there's, like, he's a character that's haunted by evil. And on top of that, he has a cutoff hand. Shitty story arc, plot the way it went, where everything was just going against him. I'm telling you, dude.
So do you think Berserk was in response to Ash then?
I'm curious if Kenji took inspiration from the character.
Well, there's another Japanese person that did, and he made a whole ass fucking B film, which Reverend fucking
Bloody Muscle Builder from Hell is the B movie that I covered.
I wanted to see that. Was that any good?
It's fun to watch once. I wouldn't say that it's worth a repeat watch, but
it literally, the tagline is the fucking Japanese Evil Dead.
You gotta know your market.
But I don't know. Just for instance, like, when people quote Ash, they always say, "This is my boomstick." That's the line in this movie when he gets so pissed at them. And he's like, you know, S-Mart's top of the line, you know, double barrel, you know.
Oh, God.
Walnut stock, the whole entire thing. I mean, so this is the Ash that, you know, everybody kind of remembers.
Does Walmart still sell guns? I know they sell.
Not in California.
Maybe
other states.
Yeah, there's too many laws in California. They'd have to. They don't have enough employees to fucking follow the rules properly.
I think they do sell them here, but the gun cabinet is way smaller than it used to be. I'll just put it that way.
Well, yeah, most people don't want to buy their guns from Walmart, you know.
Back in the day they used to, but I mean, that's before Walmart started becoming, like, you know, the woke police, and then they were just like, okay, we'll go to the gun shops or the pawn shops where, you know.
Are they still selling what's-his-name's crossbow from the Walking
Dead? Oh, Daryl Dixon's? Yeah. Probably, yeah.
That's so funny, because it used to be like, what, $20-something dollars back in the day. I imagine it's a lot more now.
Yeah.
I'm surprised somebody hasn't tried to get the official branding so they can just say that it's the one.
Yeah.
How did Evil Dead 2 do in the movies? I was always curious.
It actually made a decent amount, if I remember right.
And then it became a giant cult icon.
Yeah. Let's see. Scroll back. Well, actually, I take that back. It didn't do that well, because it was only $3.5 million budget, and box office was $5.9 million, so it did not do that well for what it was. It made its money, though, in the video market.
Huge. That was like, you know, when I was a kid, it was like, yeah, let's get that movie.
Well, and that's the other thing I was going to say about this movie, too. This movie has like four different versions, because they cut it up in like four different ways. They've got the director's cut, they've got the theatrical, they got the European cut, which is like not quite the director's cut, but it's longer than the American cut. And then they've got the TV cut, which has got, like, you know, most of the, you know, it's slightly extended, but it's also got, like, you know, a lot of the gore and stuff cut out of it. So there's, this movie's got, like, the most variants on physical media of, like, about any movie out there. It's just insane.
You know what I'm curious? I'm always curious, like, because we watch as Americans, I feel like you got options to watch a lot of different horror around the world, especially nowadays. I always get curious, like, their horror's pretty good, but, like, I know a lot of Indian horror doesn't pack a punch. It's a lot of left to your own idea about it or whatever, but it doesn't ever have the brick that hits you in the face. But a lot of our culture, a lot of the horror movie does have the punch. It's all about the lead up. Like a good horror movie, the lead up and then the punch in the face, that's just shocking. And I'm curious how other countries react to that.
I think I want to say that during a trivia for part two, we said that the Evil Dead 2 is like the most bootlegged horror movie of all time, just because they love that movie over there.
Really?
Yeah, it kind of makes sense because think about their type of movie. Like, I mean, if you want to, I mean, I know Bollywood's a type, but it is very popular there. Evil Dead 2 especially is kind of, it got that out there mentality about it that kind of matches up a little bit more with Bollywood.
Yeah, but
it's blown up, you know, it's kind of, you know, taken to the extreme in cases.
I know that in Bollywood, I know that they're attempting to get more into the horror market, but I don't feel like they're quite there yet. Like, Japanese horror, they can't even compete with that. Like, not even.
But even then, a lot of the Japanese horror, it's really subtle in how it scares you. Like, the American stuff is a bat over the head.
Yeah, that's also because, like, I feel like in Japan specifically, I know for a fact that they're the testing grounds, and I feel like America takes it, and they're like, hey, that's cool. Well, now let's add a little spice.
My whole point was, if theirs is so subtle and ours is so aggressive, I'm curious if our stuff is, like, excessively scary.
Yeah, I wonder. I know we're prudes about fucking how much sex we put in our films, but then some markets are just weird. Like, France is weird. They're so open about sex and everything, and aren't they kind of, like, weird about what's in movies and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're completely the opposite. They you know, they're fine with sexuality, sensuality, but if you put, like, the least, even, like, some guns or something, and it's like, get it out, we don't want it, you know, it's... Okay.
Speaking of that, the $50 crossbow that you used to be able to get at Walmart, not a thing anymore. I'm pretty sure it's so old now in comparison, so they probably have other models. But the specific one that Daryl Dixon had, you can now get for roughly about $300 to $400.
How much of that's inflation, though?
Oh,
I wonder.
It's got to be inflation for sure. I mean, what are we talking about, 12-ish years more?
That's a shit ton of inflation from 20 to
50. It is. Massive. It is. Quite honestly, I don't think you can buy the exact brand anymore. So, or model. You can buy the brand. You can't buy the model. So I would say that the one that's $300-ish, $300 to $400, that one's going to be like a newer, upgraded type model. So you can't really find that. But you can find Daryl Dixon's crossbow in a fucking museum. It's not currently on display. But they took a $50 crossbow from a show, and it's on display for people to go look at. That's fucking hilarious. Is that just an American thing? Are we just that?
If you knew what people paid for, like, props that were used in movies, it is so stupid.
I'm aware. It's so funny, though. It's awesome that for the longest time, though, even after he's the one who let the cat out of the bag, like, oh, this is just a fucking $50 crossbow we got at Walmart or whatever, and people were buying it, and it was still available. It wasn't one of those things where it sold out, and then they inflated the price dramatically. For the longest time, you could still get it, so, which is pretty impressive.
I was going to say, getting back to what Noah was talking about, like, foreign markets and, like, horror movies, this came to me. A lot of people don't realize this. Do you know the reason why we don't get ghost movies hardly at all anymore in horror movies? It's because they can't market them in China, because China, their supernatural belief, their honest belief is that if you show ghosts on film, they will be haunted in real life. So they refuse to show those movies. So Hollywood has stopped making them in preference for demonic movies, which apparently the Chinese are perfectly happy with. It's like, fuck demons. Who cares about that?
Man, that's, fuck China.
That's, but that's the part I'm getting at. Is like, I'm curious. Because I know there's other countries. Like Germany does good horror. So does France. Like in the UK, they got their own versions of good horror. I'm just curious how ours is being so aggressive that it is.
It just depends on the market, but I mean, apparently you can, I mean, if it, as long as it's, and that's why every movie this year has been, a lot of them have been like demonic possession movies, is because you can sell the shit out of that in China and they don't give two fucks about demons. Like they don't believe in them. They don't think that there's any problem, but you show a ghost, get that the fuck out of here. They don't want it. You know,
I didn't realize that. You think they'd be, they think you'd be just as averse to that as they would the other stuff.
I think the Japanese would be more averse because, I mean, demons are focused, or I mean, that's a lot of their lore about, like, what the actual evil spirits are is they're demonic. But, like, no, not in China. It's a totally different scenario.
Yeah, but why are we trying to appease the China market?
Because that's apparently the biggest market right now, if they can get in there. And the funny thing is, too, is that they have to take, like, I want to say it's greater than 60-40 cut, meaning that China, the Chinese government gets 60% of the take, the Hollywood studio gets 40%, but they still want in that market so bad that they're willing to change everything just to get into that market.
Not only that, but if you have access to a market you didn't before, regardless of what the profit margin is, it's something.
Yeah, it's money that they wasn't making before. I don't know.
It's all volume, like.
I take
those
it
population numbers.
Take it they don't really they didn't watch Flanagan's Haunting of Hill House or Hear House, however they say it.
No, Mr. Flanagan would not be.
Oh my God.
As far as the acting of this movie, just to kind of, you know, wrap this up on this, it's serviceable. I mean, yeah. Bruce is the best one in the movie. I mean, he has to be. He's a charismatic asshole. Like you don't want to like him because of shit that he says, but he's got a charm about him. It's like, okay, I go ahead and do what you're going to do.
Who played the main antagonist?
What's that?
Who played the main antagonist?
His double.
That's him. That's Bruce Campbell. Yeah.
I thought it was. I wasn't 100%. Okay. So it is.
Yeah, that was after he told him, you get something in your face. He's like, what? And he throws a big old pile of dirt on it.
I was about to say, those two actors are the best. Okay, never mind. It's just Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, it's a part where he, that when the little miniature jumps in his body.
I saw that, yeah.
He drinks stupid hot tea and boils him alive.
And oh my God. So what I wanted to say about the acting real quick is that I feel like the other people were trying to overact. I think they were taking it a little too seriously. And when this is a comedy film,
the one that played the red, I mean, he's not in it that much. Yes. I liked him pretty well.
I did. Yeah.
The one that played Arthur, he was too serious mm-hmm. for the role. I mean, I know they had to have a straight man for Ash to play off of, but he was a little too serious for the movie.
Thank you. That's what I was thinking. I was like, it's a little too much, like loosen up just a little bit. It doesn't have to be a ton. I get there still has to be like a direction. And we need to have one person that's like, hey, I know you fucking think this is a joke, but this is real shit. I get it. But I was like, he just needed to loosen up just a tiny bit.
The wise man was fine. He was a character actor part, and yeah. He served his purpose. Sheila's just there for, I don't know, just to be somebody for Ash to spank on the ass. And, you know, because I don't think she brings a whole lot to the movie.
She could have been hotter, is my opinion.
Fellow talk, baby.
I think the one chick at the end of the movie that he kind of, you know, is hotter than,
yes,
than her.
Yes, than Sheila, you know. Exactly. Which is, it's okay, though, because I will qualify why Sheila wasn't that hot, because he was able to walk away from her hella easy. Nope.
Probably smell like horse shit, let's be honest.
Oh, yeah, vaginas back then probably stunk like, my God. Everybody stunk.
Everybody did, yeah.
Yeah, how many people do you think were brushing their teeth?
I wonder if, like, people died from UTIs back then, like.
There's a good chance of it.
You think their body were a little bit, their bodies were a little bit more like immune because they were exposed to it so frequently? Whereas now we have antibacterial soaps and stuff.
I think it was one of those things where the people who were still living were immune to it to a certain extent, because if anybody was actually affected, they just died. And then they came up with some reason. Oh, the evil spirits from the grave came back and took them. It's like, no, they had a really bad, you know, vaginal yeast infection. It never got resolved, you know.
Oh my God. She died from candida. Oh my God.
I do like the music in this movie. It reminds me a lot of Danny Elfman style music, yeah, which it very much could be as far as I'm concerned. I don't even know. It was just Lo Duca or whatever again, but still he kind of hit that, you know, that kind of like great orchestral type thing that Elfman always does.
Yeah,
so.
He did good. He kept the energy going with the fucking music.
I was surprised he did the music when I saw that. I didn't realize it until like rewatching it or whatever. I seen the name for the credit. I was like, holy shit.
Who, DeLuca?
No, Danny Elfman.
Danny Elfman did not do the music for this, did he?
Yeah, Army of Darkness. Yeah.
He did?
He might have. I mean, because it sounds like his music. I mean.
Yeah, that shocked me when I saw that. I was like, holy shit.
Because
he did one of the songs, The March of the Dead. So that makes sense.
Oh, okay.
Which makes sense why it sounds like him. That's what, you know. He has a style. I mean, it's he just does. You want to get in the trivia on this one?
Yeah,
I think there's a lot.
Let's do it.
Bruce Campbell was displeased with the studio delaying the film's release from the summer of 92 to February of 93 and re-editing of it. There were issues because the studio was unwilling to pay an additional $3 million to finish the movie, and they were using the film as leverage in a conflict with producer Dino De Laurentiis over the rights to the character of Hannibal Lecter from The Silence of the Lambs. Campbell stated that he wasted a year of his life waiting for the film to get released to cinemas.
I think that's part of why it didn't do so well, because this would have been possibly a summer blockbuster hit.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and it came out in February. That's a terrible time for movies to come out, especially a horror movie. I mean, even if you go, if you say it's not a horror movie, which it's really not, and you want to say it's a, you know, a big adventure romp, summer, that's a much better time to release it.
Yes.
Bruce Campbell says that in order to make it appear that the chainsaw was always running, again, tobacco smoke was pumped through a tube that was slid up his right pant leg, up his shirt, and into the chainsaw.
You just had someone fucking chain smoking saw, you know?
Every single movie that he had the chainsaw, that's what they were doing. This is hilarious. It was released in Japan under the name Captain Supermarket.
What?
Oh, you know those fucking Japanese people love that shit.
Captain Supermarket?
Captain Supermarket. I love how literal some of their names are for movies that come from us. It's like, I think the German version of Evil Dead was like Dancing Dead or something like that, or Dancing Evil, and it was just like, okay, I don't know where they're dancing at except for Linda, but okay.
Well, that's part two, but I don't know if that was part one. That's funny.
Ideas for a third Evil Dead movie was going around since Evil Dead 2 had been released, and even before Sam Raimi started working on Darkman. Producer Dino De Laurentiis was already working on board due to the successful Evil Dead 2, and when A Dark Man became a hit, Universal Pictures, who had a deal with De Laurentiis' company, also stepped in to supply half of the $12 million budget. Raimi originally wanted to call the third film The Medieval Dead, which is actually a much better name.
I like it.
But Universal refused. He then suggested the title Evil Dead 3 Army of Darkness after an idea by Irvin Shapiro, who died 2 years before the third film was made. However, the studio wanted the film to stand on its own, as we said earlier, and just titled it Army of Darkness.
Big mistake.
They actually called it Army of Darkness The Medieval Dead for its UK release. That's a good compromise.
That's a good one. Yeah.
All three Evil Dead movies can be seamlessly cut together, which has been done by fans, although some introductory footage in the sequels is lost, of course, because it's, you know, doesn't match. And there are several narrative and visual inconsistencies throughout. Listen, I think that's a great idea if you take Ash being attacked by the Deadeye at the end of the first movie, go straight, cut out all that introductory stuff with Linda in part two, go straight into part two, and then cut out the end, and then, like, you know, him be, or just show him being sucked back and go straight in the last movie. That's a perfect way to do that.
Yeah.
In the original draft, Ash lost an eye. The original draft didn't go into medieval times until the second half, with the first half serving as a big budget recap of Evil Dead 1 and 2. No. No. We did not need a whole half of a movie redoing the first two movies. We've already seen that. We would also see more about Ash's personal life, such as him in college and working at S-Mart. We didn't need that either. Nope. We just needed for him to say he worked at both or did both.
Yeah.
The Raimis wrote the script this way because they didn't think Universal would fund a sequel to a low-budget indie movie when instead planned to make it as a standalone partial remake, but were excited when they greenlit a straightforward Evil Dead sequel and decided to scrap nearly anything that involved the original cabin besides a brief prologue, which is smart.
I'm so glad that's how they did it, because obviously you know how I felt about the part two.
I don't know what your big gripe is about that.
I told her I'm fine with the way that they recap part two, but it wasn't necessary. I mean, by any means.
I know. I think it saved them legwork and try to re-explain to the degree of what happened with his girlfriend or whatever.
Yeah, but at the same time, they retcon things when they didn't even have to do that. I know they had to retcon because of the studio, but they didn't have to go into that much detail. They could have just did a brief, you know, him talking and losing his fucking mind.
And that first part has Bruce Campbell's, like, least favorite part of his acting, period.
That is true.
Which is where he's, you know, he's like, I'm a man, you're a woman. You know, that old thing. during the scene where Ash is being pelted with rocks, fake rocks were used. However, to get a more realistic... I love this. To get a more realistic reaction out of Bruce, Sam Raimi pelted him with potatoes.
Oh, my God.
And that was what they used in the movie, was whenever he got hit by that. Raimi has told the special effects people to make the fight choreography as difficult as possible for Bruce, telling them going so far as to say make him go through torture, since he had to memorize his complex set of moves against invisible enemies that would later be added in post-production. Campbell would be cussing and swearing to keep up, and sometimes take 37 takes to get it right. Fuck. I know they're friends, but that's like the kind of shit that only like best friends can do to one another. It's like, you know.
That's hella funny. Every fucking show, they've had, like, some kind of fucking friend battle.
An issue of the magazine Fangoria can be seen in Bruce's car, or Ash's car. This was director Sam Raimi showing his gratitude for the publication, including the original Evil Dead, when it initially premiered.
Yeah, Fangoria definitely should get credit for that.
Much of the film was shot with multiple cameras simultaneously rolling on both wide shots and close-ups rather than shooting a master first and later a close-up. Because of this, the boom mic had to be kept further back from the subject than would be used normally to produce acceptable audio. For this reason, Bruce Campbell often wore a wireless transmitter with a microphone pickup concealed in the chainsaw pull start hook on the strap that crossed his chest and the transmitter tucked down inside the shotgun holster on his back. Which is pretty cool that they used his gear to kind of hide the microphone. Campbell had to be reassured that the black foam ball covering the microphone pickup would not be visible on camera.
I didn't notice it, so.
Yeah, no. I was even aware of it.
M. Beth Davids had such a rough time shooting the fight scenes filmed at night and wearing heavy prosthetics that she contemplated quitting acting.
Wow.
In a later interview, she acknowledged that the hardship she had to endure, but said that over the years, she's come to enjoy all the positive comments she got from fans of the film.
Okay.
During filming of the climactic sword fight at Arthur's Castle, Bruce Campbell suffered a small gash to his face when a decorative pin on his cape cut him during a stunt. You know, for a Hollywood pretty boy actor, which is kind of what he is, he had his teeth knocked out in the second movie. He twisted his leg really bad in the first, and then in this one, or it might have been even the first where he got his teeth knocked out, and in this one he gets his face cut. They took him to Poso Rosa Ranch to see a plastic surgeon to assess the damage. At the examination, the doctor had to have an actual injury pointed out amidst the myriad special effects scars, because they were so well done that he didn't know what was the actual cut.
Oh my God.
Makeup.
That's hella good.
Yeah. Campbell was treated and returned to set shortly afterward to finish the scene.
Wow.
During the filming, the Oldsmobile Delta 88 falling out of the sky was shot twice. During the first attempt, the 25-foot crane lifting the car failed due to a mechanical problem and toppled over the edge of a cliff at the quarry that it was taking place. Fortunately, no injuries occurred. The crane operator jumped from the cab before it went over the edge with the car.
Oh, shit.
Days later, a larger 80-ton crane was brought in to remove the damaged crane to pull the crane and the car back out.
Jesus.
In the final edit, elements of the reshoot, as well as the footage from the scene from Evil Dead 2 were used. So they actually used the drop from Evil Dead 2 to kind of sub in. That's kind of cool.
So funny. It's so funny that they had to include the car. And only for it to fucking not explode, but, you know, basically shatter.
The film is infamous for its different cuts. Like I said, it's got 81-minute theatrical, 88-minute international, 96-minute directors, and 88-minute U.S. television version. They all include omits or certain deleted scenes, as well as scenes that were re-edited in a different order, depending upon which the viewer watched. I think last time I watched this, I just watched the theatrical because it's been forever since I saw that version. S-Mart is a chain of grocery stores in Mexico.
Interesting. Never heard of them.
Sam Raimi is known for coming up with new dialogue on the spot, and the "Give me some sugar, baby" was actually his idea. Bruce thought it was the stupidest line I've ever heard, but Raimi insisted that he say it.
It was pretty cringy, but it works for Ash.
It works hella good.
The thing is that, like, Raimi has a love-hate relationship, probably like he does with Bruce, with the character of Ash. He likes to make him look as stupid and himbo as possible, while also, you know, giving him enough plot armor to survive,
Oh, my God.
The entire sequence when Ash, or evil Ash, grows out of Ash's shoulder, starting with an eye, is an homage to a Japanese-American B-horror film called The Manster from 1959.
Manster? Oh, my God.
According to Sam Raimi in the book The Evil Dead Companion by Bill Warren, Charles Napier was able to play Ash's boss in S-Mart, but his role was totally cut. Likewise, Bridget Fonda was scheduled to have more screen time as Linda, but her part was added during a second round of studio-mandated reshoots, and 1 month after the principal photography had ended, together the scene with the scenes in the windmill. I can't remember who Charles Napier exactly is, but
there was another
older character in the movie.
Yeah.
Writer-director Sam Raimi kept opting for the film to receive a PG-13 rating, as agreed with the studio, but the MPAA gave the first version an NC-17 due to a shot of a female deadite being decapitated at the beginning of the movie. And then Raimi re-edited the film several times, but the best he was able to get was an R, no matter what changes were made. Further editing was done by the studio in a failed attempt to get the PG-13, which partially why the film is so short for a studio action film. So that's why the theatricals got 8 minutes cut, because they kept trying to get that PG-13, but MPAA is a bunch of fuckheads, so they couldn't get anything.
They don't know what the fuck they want.
I'm surprised they don't just they still got to have the original footage. I don't know why they just don't re-release what they had initially got them the NC-17 for.
You would think that they would just do that. Maybe that's what the director's cut is. It's basically the NC-17 minus a couple of things. But
there's a couple of parts that are changed, like dialogue wise. Like the one, the one where he's referencing his gun. That statement.
This is my boomstick or whatever.
Not that part. There's another one. God damn it. Anyways, fuck. I wish I could remember.
Maybe you'll think of it as we go along here. The first and last studio film that Bruce Campbell starred in as the lead. During the final battle between the Deadites and Ash's men, evil Ash lets out a war cry that is almost identical to that of Xenia, Warrior Princess. That's because Ted Raimi and Bruce Campbell both featured in that, and it was also produced by Sam Raimi. So kind of from Xena. When Ash retrieves his Oldsmobile and opens the trunk, he takes out two books. One is a book on steam power, and the other was the Chemistry 101. The name shown as the author of the chemistry book was that of the father of a member of the prop crew. The plot of Ash being transported to the Middle Ages and having to fight the Evil Dead, or the Deadites in medieval times, was actually going to be what Evil Dead 2 was going to be, but like we covered in the previous episode, they didn't have the money for it, so... ads were even produced for this Evil Dead 2, Evil Dead and the Army of Darkness, but no studio wanted to invest in it.
Wow.
That's why we got basically a remake of the first movie. Tracy Lords actually auditioned for the role of Sheila. She would later play the wife of Bruce Campbell's character, Autolycus or Autolycus, on Sam Raimi's Hercules, The Legendary Journeys. Tracy Lords would have been somebody he would have never left the past for, just saying.
That's what I was thinking, too. They had to make Sheila the way she looked.
Filming was done on location in Bronson Canyon and Vasquez Rocks Natural Area Park, with a huge Castle Kandar set built near Acton, California, on the set of the Mojave, or edge of the Mojave Desert. The scene where Ash is thrown into the pit and battles the two deadites was a combination of shots from two separate locations. Outside of the pit, the castle courtyard was shot in Poso Rosa Ranch, while the interior was of the pit was shot in the set built on the back lot of Intravision Studios in Hollywood. The cave interior set was consisted of 2 foot deep pool that was built and flooded, and the cave walls and slack tights were built from pieces of wood lathe screwed together and covered with chicken wire and sprayed with foam. The dreaded spikes on the moving walls were in reality open celled foam painted to look like dark rusty metal.
No.
It looks pretty good. Yeah. I mean, considering what it is. I mean, you really think it's like a metal gate.
Well, you see all these, I follow all these prop makers for Halloween stuff, and the amount of shit that they do with foam is impressive.
Oh, yeah, they can do all kinds of stuff. I mean, the armor they can make that looks like, you know, real stuff. Again, as we've covered in previous, he makes a big deal out of it. It's a 12-gauge double-barreled Remington. None of the shotguns he ever used in any of the movies was a Remington shotgun.
Oh, my God. Ever. Why would they say it, but they don't actually get the gun?
Because then the brand has more notoriety. So when you say it, people are like, yeah, fucking Remington.
I understand badass that. Why not just get one? Shotguns. Why not just get one, though?
Because Remingtons are it's a more quality brand. So I don't know. Maybe the company doesn't make a replica looking Remington.
Interesting.
Unless you were shooting a real shotgun.
Danny Elfman, who composed the March of the Dead, later married Bridget Fonda.
Oh, shit. Are they still married?
They were married as of 2003, so. At 56 minutes and 7 seconds, one of the deadite soldiers shouts, "Cry havoc and let loose the dogs of war." This is a paraphrase of a line spoken by Mark Antony in the Shakespeare's Julius Caesar. Marcus Gilbert was ill with food poisoning when filming one of the major fight scenes. I think I remember seeing that, because if you look in the scenes, like he's, yeah, I think that's Arthur. He's actually like really clammy looking and got a lot of like sweat on his face. Yeah. I can't imagine trying to do that shit while you've got food poisoning. That'd be awful. Bill Moseley is actually in this movie, as well as Patricia Tallman. He plays the Deadeye Captain. So there you go. And both of them were, you know, of course, Barbara and Johnny in Night of the Living Dead, 1990. Actress stunt performer Nadine Gryken played the winged deadite who swoops down and snatches Lady Sheila from the Arthur's castle. The skin-tight costume was constructed in such a way that Gryken's arms could be either inserted inside. The deadite's arms are inserted in the wings so that they could be flat by her. Klaatu Viratonictu, the words used to retrieve the Necronomicon, is an homage to the phrase Klaatu Baratonicto, from the, which I think he says Nikto whenever he kind of half says it, from the classic sci-fi movie The Day the Earth Stood Still. And it was also used apparently in Star Wars Episode 6, Return of the Jedi. One of the Jabba the Hutt's employees is named Barada, which is a member of the Klaatuian species. And there's also a species called Nikto, so there you go.
Interesting.
Although a sequel to Army of Darkness didn't materialize for several decades, the popularity of the remake, Evil Dead 2013, reignited interest in one that finally resulted in Ash versus the Evil Dead, with ideas to follow up with a property. They were going to originally come up with a proper Army of Darkness 2 sequel movie and a crossover movie where Ash met the survivor from 2013. But they were scrapped whenever they canceled Ash versus the Evil Dead TV series. We live in the worst timeline. I'm just throwing that out there. I mean, look at the things we could have had.
I know.
We got COVID and Dr. Fauci is what we got in our timeline. So, yay. Writer-director Sam Raimi's plot, which he conceived together with Sheldon Lettich, was inspired by the novels A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court and Gulliver's Travels. And they were also inspired visually by The Seventh Voyage of Sinbad and Jason and the Argonauts. And, of course, the comedy comes from the Three Stooges. I mean, you can tell by the fact where he's getting his eye poked by I mean, that's classic Three Stooges. Shooting the castle and the outdoor scenes near the Mojave Desert meant the cast and crew had to endure very hot conditions during the day and very cold ones at night. Filming was done during the summer when nights were shortest, and since many scenes had to be shot at night and lighting the set could take up to 1.5 hours, they only had 6 hours per day to actually film the movie during those times. There was an increasing budget available for every subsequent movie in the original Evil Dead trilogy, where Evil Dead 1980 had, or 81 had been shot on a budget of $350,000. Evil Dead 2 was made for $3.6 million, and this was made for $11 million. So this movie was made for 30 times the budget of the original movie.
Damn.
I don't know if they got 30 times the benefit increase in like the visuals, because that first Evil Dead's pretty good for that budget.
No, but they did have a lot more actors on the film.
That's true. They did get that.
They had some bigger things they had to do. Like they had a fucking car that had to be dropped twice, you know?
Speaking of extra actors, in his memoir, If Chins Could Kill, Bruce Campbell said the extras would wander off at night and never come back.
What?
That's that could be either hilarious because they're just like, fuck this movie, or bad, like they wandered off and...
Well, their bodies are somewhere in the Mojave. Something happened. Be found. Producer Dino De Laurentiis gave director Sam Raimi full creative freedom because Raimi had to work with a lower budget than on Darkman. However, Universal Studios took over post-production when test audiences felt its original ending, where Ash returns to the original time and ends up in post-apocalyptic England, was too negative and depressing. So that changing ending to the S-Mart thing was, as Universal tinkering with the movie.
I like that they did that.
Do you like the alternate ending?
No, I like that they ended up in S-Mart.
Well, that is the alternate ending.
Oh, that is?
They originally wanted it to be that he ended up in the post-apocalyptic times.
Oh, okay. No. Yeah, I like how it ended.
Raimi later commented, I kind of like the fact that there are two endings, that of one that in one alternate universe, so he's even buying in the alternate universe thing, that Bruce is screwed in another universe where he's some cheesy hero.
Yeah.
But in the TV series, obviously, they continued from the point of view of the theatrical version.
Yeah. So
there you go. Originally, there was only meant to be one creature in the pit. Sam Raimi was convinced to add the second one, dubbed the Pit Bitch, by its creators after being scared by it one day.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's the one that comes out of nowhere at the end and looks, you know. I'm going to skip all that about the 2015 because I've already kind of said all that. The words Ash is meant to speak to take the Necronomicon are safely or Klaatu, Verata, Nikto. If you listen carefully, like I said, he actually says them, but then he coughs out and then he fucks it all up. So that's on him. Ash screwing up the chant before taking the Book of the Dead was not the first time he tried to remember something someone told him. The previous one was during the dinner scene in the Evil Dead 1981, as he tries to quote something Scotty told him during their time as friends and he couldn't remember it.
Yep.
So that's at least a little bit of continuity for the character, if nothing else. With Ash traveling through time in the movie, the Evil Dead trilogy forms a close time loop. The Book of the Dead that is introduced in 81 is inadvertently used to awaken the evil and is destroyed by Ash in Evil Dead 2. It is revealed that Professor Nobi had found it in the ruins of Castle Kandor and took it back to... So, basically, Ash caused his own time loop in a roundabout way.
Oh.
So, he always gets stuck back in that cabin. Director Sam Raimi selected 25 storyboards from the movie Joan of Arc that served as inspiration for the battle scenes with the Deadites. In the end, the cost of production and special effects were so extensive that Raimi, Bruce Campbell, and producer Rob Tappert had to put up $1 million themselves to shoot new happy ending in which Ash returns to his own time and battles the Deadites at the department store. I know they got paid back for it because, I mean, they've made a ton of movie off. That's the reason they keep cranking out these Evil Dead, these new Evil Dead movies. They make pure profit off those movies.
Yeah.
I mean, every single one. And Bruce is a producer on all of them, so he still makes money off of them, too.
Yes.
So good on all them. And they're making another one, by the way.
Oh, my God.
It's rumored that Mia, the survivor from 2013 remake, that from the actress who said she would never come back and do a horror movie ever again, well, times have changed. Bidenomics are in full force, and she's agreed to come back and do a horror movie, and she's going to come back and possibly do another Evil Dead movie, so she might be in the new one.
My, how the turntables. Babe, have you seen the remake? I have not.
The remake of what? Evil Dead,
the 2013.
Yeah. You haven't seen that?
I don't know.
I've told her several times. It is really good.
We are married, and how do you not know me?
Dude, it's like, to get her to watch anything is like,
okay,
you got to put her in a chokehold and feed her a bunch of like caffeine.
Okay. To be fair,
swear
though.
Swear to God, dude.
To be fair, I avoid certain movies for the show. And Reverend, you have done that once or twice on this show. You have waited. I know you've done it at least once, where you've waited to watch the movie so you could review it.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about World War Z, yeah. I'd spent years not watching that movie, and then I was like, all right, I'll watch it.
I'm telling you, dude, it's so hard to get her to watch anything. I'm just saying.
Yeah, well, you know.
All right, so I want your thoughts on this movie since it is your first time watching it, and it is a comedy more than it is anything else.
Oh my God, this movie's so fucking cheesy. It's supposed to be.
It is, yeah.
The problem with this movie for me, and I'll give you the review later, or not the review, but the score. For me, is how much you and Noah build shit up like this because you guys love it so much.
It's a hella good movie.
I'm not saying that it's not, but it's not slapstick. I'm very picky. There's some slapstick I like, and there's some I don't. I don't like Groucho Marx films.
Of course not. Why would you like someone with good dialogue that's punchy, gritty, and snappy? I want my characters almost seem like they've just had a lobotomy.
The amount of times I rolled my eyes with the one-liners in this film, I'm surprised my eyes didn't fucking pop out of my skull. But it was a fun movie. It was very entertaining. The action was there. You know I need action in a film.
Yeah.
The energy.
It's pretty much from the start. Yes. I mean, in this movie.
It does not wind down. The energy was there. So, yeah, it's a good movie. It's a movie I could see myself watching again if it's on TV. I'm not going to go out of my way to watch it, but if, like, you know, it's playing, hubby's got it on, or the kids, or it's on TV, yeah, I'm probably going to sit and watch it. So, that being said, I gave the last ones, like, I was like a 3.2 and then a 3.5, I think. Well, probably higher for, I liked one more than I liked two.
Yeah, I want to say you were higher than that. I thought you were real close to a 4 on or something on part one, but...
Yeah, probably. I don't think I quite gave it a 4, though.
Yeah,
I don't believe that I did. But this one's definitely, it's even higher than a 4. It's like it's a 4.2 for me. It's not a 4.5. But it's still higher than what I would expect you guys would thought I would have given it.
Yeah, it really is, honestly, because I was expecting this one to be the one to be like, okay, they jumped the shark, you know, that's what this movie is.
Well, it was almost a 5. But it was just too much with the slapstick. Like I said, it kind of like, after a while, I was just like, fucking shit. It didn't kill it for me, obviously. I'd say between a four out of a 5, and I'm giving it more than a 4, I think that's more than fair.
That's fine with me. Yeah. I mean.
My husband's over here giving me daggers for eyes. Like, I'm afraid of that.
All right, Noah, what do you give this movie?
I gave it a 6. There we go. Let's offset her score really
so
quick.
So dumb.
Yeah, that averages out to a 5, so that works.
Yeah.
That's
No, it's just like, it doesn't matter how many times I watch this movie. I could watch it unlimited. It doesn't really affect me.
I'm 100% the same way with this movie. I'm going to say for myself that I was trying to give them ratings based upon, like, you know, to place the hierarchy within, like, what I think is the best ones. I gave a 4 to the first one.
Easily,
I gave a 5 to part 2.
Oh yeah, that was his first 5.
You know what sells number 5 the most is
number 5.
Enough, number 5, number 2. God damn it. But it sells number 2 the most. My favorite thing is this iconic, and it's always held up, and it's like a hallmark of his character. Is when he cut off his corrupted hand and put that chainsaw on it. It was just like, that's like, as a kid, you're like, that's badass.
Yeah, well, that's probably what part 3, too, what people got super excited for. The chainsaw comes back, it connects to the hand, you're like, yeah, you know?
this, I've watched this movie so many times, I don't even know if I can actually rank it properly. It's the one I've watched the most.
Yeah, same with me. I'm so biased, and it's like, I can't.
I think part two, just because it has the horror element to offset it, I think it's, right now, it's a better movie to me. So I'm making this a 4.5 with a caveat saying that I've watched this movie more than most movies I've ever watched. I really have. So, I mean, and just like you said, if you put it on TV, it's like the movie Major League. I've said a million times, put those two movies on, I'll watch them all the way. I don't care what part of the movie it's in. I'll just sit down and watch them. I don't care. Like, it's on TV, I'll watch it. It's just one of those movies. And so 4.5, I mean, I feel like it's right there. It's just like right now, I like the horror elements in part two just a little bit more than I like, you know.
And that's the thing, too, is that we've seen a lot of fucking amazing horror comedies. So it's getting harder. The ratings are going to get harder for those because I'm loving the horror comedies. But the problem is that there wasn't enough horror in this. I don't think I was scared one time in this. And
you're never meant to be scared for Ash, because he's going to survive. You know it.
Yeah,
you know?
Which kind of sucks a little bit, because even in the show, there was a couple times that I jumped. They had actual, you know, a little bit more horror in the show, and it still had the slapstick.
Well, they did something different with the show in the sense that when they brought in the other characters, now Ash might not, even though he was the chosen one back then, he might not have it in him to finish the end game.
Yeah, so you know? I think that was my biggest problem with this, you know, is that there was a little bit too much comedy, and we're a horror film reviewing podcast, and I was like, well, where's the horrors? I mean, the horror. There was horrors.
Well, that was Sheila, but I mean, yeah, that's a whole separate thing.
And she was not a good whore, so.
No.
That brought down the score, too. Could have been a 5.
All those skeletons had some pretty good looking ladies. They were leading around on chains at one point, so they knew where the whores were at.
That's true. There were some whores in this house.
But no, if I'm ranking them, it's 2. Army of Darkness, 1. That's where I'm at with them. I mean, that's, you know,
even though I gave Army of Darkness a higher score, but for me, the ranking of the three would be 1, 3, and 2.
I keep in the order they are right now. Number 1 is still the best because it's legit.
Yeah.
A horror movie. Yeah.
Then number 2 did a good follow up, and number 3 put a nice little cherry on top.
Nice little sweet cherry. That I spit out yesterday because they taste like chemicals to me.
Well, they're...
It was a maraschino cherry. I was like, bleh!
Oh, they have... Yeah. So we went to a yogurt place, and apparently they were a little old because they were fermented, and, like, Raina tasted it. She's like, it tastes weird. Then my daughter tasted it. My daughter's like, it tastes like rubbing alcohol. But yeah, because the cherries are fermented. They're old as hell. They just threw them in with the new ones.
That makes sense.
Can I throw away a product?
That was the weirdest thing, going back to the tying it into the chemistry part that Ash was in. Like, in organic chemistry, they made us like study like chemical compounds and like benzene rings. When you synthesize those, they smell just like artificial cherry. Like,
I remember that.
It's so weird. It's like, that's the exact smell. And it's like, okay, so artificial cherry is basically just this chemical. Like, what is that even doing to my body that it's, you know, that way? Well,
fucking, they say that they use the same stuff inside when they embalm people.
Yeah, probably, yeah. So, it's like, okay, it's a preservative. We're self-embalming as we go.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, my God, that's so funny. Anyways.
All right, catch us next time for our birthday best films. And with that, peace be with you.
And with your spirit.